What makes you say wow? What are the times in your life when you've had experiences that you just are left without words and all you can say is wow? When are the times when you've experienced the wonder of creation, the wonder of what is happening around you? Maybe it was the time that you were at the ocean and the sun set into it in just a blaze of glory and you just went wow, because there was nothing else to say. Maybe you witnessed a birth and that's just wow. Maybe it's the time you were sitting across from someone and you realized how deeply you loved that person. And you felt this feeling well up inside of you and it was almost so strong you were afraid of it. It left you breathless. That's wow, that's wonder. You know, we were created from the very beginning to experience wonder. God created the universe and the stars, and in the book of Genesis it says, God said, it is good. And then God created plants and animals and said, it is good. And then God creates humanity and says, it is very good. And essentially what God is saying is, wow, look what I did. Now, we were created in the image of God, and so we were created to experience wonder. You may wonder why I'm here at Frying Pan Park. Well, I grew up going to a farm in Pennsylvania, a dairy farm that my uncle owned. I spent days, weeks, months there, and I loved it. And one of my favorite things was to ride along Uncle Paul's tractor, and I would hold the sides of it, and I would watch as the seeds were planted into the ground, row after row after row. And then after a while, we would get off, and it was amazing. And then I would see it start to grow, and it would be just small. And then it would be up to your ankle, and then knee high by the 4th of July was the way to do it. And then before I knew it, it was up to my shoulders, and it was all around, and you could play hide and seek and get lost in it. And I was just amazed at everything. Watching things grow was a wonder to me. I would marvel at God's creation. I really didn't know that as a child what that was called, but that's what it was. It was wonder. The other thing that I would do is I would watch baby calves being born. And this little tiny wobbly-legged baby would be born and lay on the ground, and then it would have to learn to stand up. And it would stumble around, and the mother would come and lick it gently with this really rough tongue, and it would gently low to it and encourage this baby to stand up, and eventually the baby would. And I remember watching it and being amazed and awestruck at new life. That's one of the reasons I come to this farm. I watch the crops grow. I watch animals come and go at the farm. Just last weekend I was here and there was a whole litter of pigs that were born. And there was just this pile of pink piglets. They had eaten and they were just so satisfied, and they were laying one on top of the other. And I once again said, wow, it's wonderful. When have you experienced wonder? When do you say wow?
A friend called me the other day. He said, how do you experience God? He's not a believer, and he's really asking a sincere question. He just wants to know, how do you do it? Well, I told him about a lot of ways. I talked about corporate worship. That's one way that I feel that I really encounter God, and being with other people really makes a big difference to me, and the songs of the church and all the rest. And then I talked about the sacraments, and I talked about prayer, and I talked about reading scripture and these different spiritual disciplines that we all have. But then I talked about another thing. Because I knew he did it a lot, I said, you know, I find that when I take a walk in the woods, it's a space of worship. And I said, you know, encountering God is not an event, it's a way of life. It's keeping your eyes open. It's listening to the blowing wind of the Holy Spirit and feeling it brush your face. And it's noticing what's around you. When I'm out in the woods, I see a spider web in the sunlight. I see tadpoles in the spring. I see the leaves come on the trees, and the leaves change colors and fall off the trees. And that cycle of life and death and resurrection, it reminds me of the cycle of all of life and the promise of the resurrection that Jesus talked about. Sometimes I walk in the woods, I'm listening to a podcast or I'm listening to a book, but sometimes I don't, and I don't intentionally, because I think it's a place where you can meet God. These woods are just right near my home. When I look up into the canopy of these trees, I see this reminder that this was going on long before I was here, and this is going to be going on long after I'm gone. And it right-sizes me. So worship is not an event. Worship is a way. It's a way of being open to God, of experiencing God. And you can worship anywhere. But being intentional about where you worship, you don't just stumble on it. You have to think about how it's going to happen. And I think that's important for worship, no matter when or how it occurs.
Hi, it's Pastor Bob here, and I'm out in the sculpture garden at the Hirshhorn Museum of Modern Art, and I just finished visiting the National Gallery of Art. These are two of the first places I thought to come when I was asked the question, where do I experience wonder and encounter God? I've always thought about the many ways that art was an entrance into my life of faith. I didn't grow up in the church, and as a young student, elementary kid in grade school, I remember going and visiting the art museum with our class, and our teacher would ask us questions about what was happening in the paintings we were looking at and what did we see, and even one little worksheet that I still have to this day in a folder buried in a box somewhere. The question was asked, what's going on in this painting, and who are the people there, and who would you like to know better? It was a painting of the triumphal entry, Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem. And I said, I don't know, but I really think I'd want to be friends with that man on the donkey. I didn't even know it was Jesus at that time. But as I continued to study and explore art, I encountered more and more the beauty and the truth and the hope that I would one day know in Christ. Behind me is the sculpture of Auguste Rodin, The Burghers of Calais. And over in the National Gallery of Art was one of my favorite sculptures. It's hewn from marble, and it's called The Hand of God. And it reminded me of my children practicing their scripture memory for this week. They've been doing Ephesians 2:10, and they have a little song that they sing. And when they sing the song, and it says, "For we are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus," they do the motion of painting. And it just reminds me that we are a masterpiece, a work created in the image of God, and that God's still working on many of us. But when I walk through an art gallery, or when I go into a place where I encounter the many ways that God's creative spirit has worked in and through the hearts of humanity, that's where I know wonder. That's where I encounter grace.
So today in worship, obviously, we are talking about worship and wonder, and I wonder if you'd pray with me. Holy God, thank you for your presence here, for the way that we can interact with you, and I pray now that you would take the words that have been prepared by all of us and work through them so that we might know you more. And this I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Tom and Bob and I thought it was just important for each of us to take a moment to talk about wonder, and where we experience that, and how we experience the presence of God. And today, I want to tell you that wonder has another name, and that name is worship. Worship is about experiencing the presence of God. And you can do that in the woods, or you can do it at a farm, or you can do it at an art museum, and that's all valid and really important. But today, I want to talk about this. About what you and I are doing right now. This is what we call corporate worship. We come together to worship God. And I want to ask you a question. Listen, I am so glad that you are here today, but I want to ask you a question. Are you having a harder time concentrating these days than maybe earlier? I know that I am. I know that I am easily distracted these days. It feels harder to concentrate, harder to see wonder. There's the pandemic, the elections. There are how many people are sick. There is the general despair and sadness that we feel right now. You can go out and talk to a bunch of different people, and everybody that I talk to is experiencing some level of discomfort and sadness and anxiety. And it's harder to experience wonder when you feel like that. And now, listen, everything we do is virtual, right? Virtual doctor's appointment, virtual meetings, virtual school, even virtual worship. But last week, I heard another pastor put into words something that I think is very important, something that I needed to hear. And he said this. He said, "Virtual worship is real worship." Let me say that again for you. Virtual worship is real worship. God doesn't change just because we're connecting virtually. You and I are still connected, even if it's virtual. The prayers are just as heartfelt. The scripture is just as solid. The music is just as powerful. Even if it's virtual, sure, we have to learn to adapt. We have to learn to do things a little bit differently. But friends, this is real. You and I are connecting in a different way, but we are connecting. The Holy Spirit is completely present here and wherever you are and all around. We just need to learn to do things a little bit differently. Listen, I am probably like you. I miss people. I miss seeing people in 3D. I miss shaking hands. I miss hugging people. I miss seeing people's faces underneath their masks. We really are learning how to see what people are thinking and feeling in their eyes. We have kind of an unusual opportunity right now, and today I want to share with you some suggestions that I have for worshiping in these virtual times. The opportunity here is to learn how to focus, learn how to really focus, because honestly, there are distractions everywhere. And I would observe that I am not the only one that's having trouble learning how to focus. Have you been in a conversation lately and somebody's been talking to you and all of a sudden you hear them say, "You're not listening. You're not listening to me." I hate to tell you this, but I've had that experience lately. I especially find that happening on Zoom meetings when you've got all the faces and somebody is talking and it just feels like I've been on Zoom forever and ever. And all of a sudden I realize I don't really know what was just said. I'm having a hard time focusing. The opportunity is we're going to focus on what focusing means. In the initial months of the pandemic, a lot of things had to change in the building right here at the church where we're at. Some of you have never been here, but it's a fairly large space, and we had to adapt. Our fellowship hall became a distribution center for food, helping hungry kids, especially in our community. Our portico out front became a distribution area for Kid Nation so that parents and families could come by and they could pick up packets that kids could take home and do Sunday school and different camps at home. It also became a place where people could bring food and drop it off safely, and then people would bring it in the building in their mask and everything, and it could be distributed. This space, the sanctuary, became a recording studio. Completely a recording studio. We had to bring in cameras and we had to bring in microphones and equipment and all sorts of things that I don't even know what they are. But we needed a lot of things in order to make this virtual experience the best that we could. And then I noticed that week after week, we kept bringing in stuff. We brought in more furniture. We brought in more plants. We brought in more things to decorate, more things to try to help this be the best experience ever. And then one day, we all looked around and went, "This place is incredibly cluttered." And so we decided, today is the day. We are going to declutter the space. And so we made a really big effort and we picked it up. We shifted things around a little bit. We put things away. And now what we try to do is when we use it and then we put it away. But we really had to declutter the space. You have a sanctuary within you. And it might be cluttered right now. It might be time for you to start looking to that sanctuary within and figuring out, what do I need to do to be fully present for worship? You need to claim a space and a time for worship. Can I tell you what happened after we cleared this space out? Every single person that walked in here said, "Wow, this is better." We had kind of forgotten that this was a sacred space. We still felt worshipful in the place, but it was harder. There was so much kind of nibbling at us. And by decluttering it, we reclaimed the holiness of the space, and it helped us in our worship. Think about that sanctuary within you. What do you need to do to declutter it? I have some suggestions. When you come to worship, whenever you do that, it might be on Sunday morning, it might be another time that's better for your family. But when you do that, if you know you're going to be hungry, eat before you come or bring a snack with you. The beauty of worshiping virtually is you could have a snack while you are in worship. If you know that the dog is going to need to go out, take the dog out beforehand. If Aunt Edna always calls at the same time, call her earlier or ask her to call at another time. Claim a time, claim a space. You might need to clear a table of distractions. You might need to clean off the dining room table or your desk or wherever it is that you have your device that you worship through, and you might need to find that space. Here's another thing you might need to do. I found myself needing to do this. Make a conscious decision to silence the devices. Turn off the notifications. Don't do texts during the opening song. Don't quickly check your email during the prayers, because you know what it does? It sucks you right away. And before you know it, that inner sanctuary you have is all cluttered. The psalmist says this in Psalm 103, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise God's holy name." You can't give God your whole heart if it's all cluttered. And I know that all of the distractions will either be waiting for you at the end, or they won't be as much or as important as you thought they were. So the next thing you do is you focus your attention on worship. Notice God. Allow yourself to be in the moment of worship. Have you ever seen a baby listening to the voice of someone that they love? They have this amazing attention span. I'm going to share a scripture with you right now, and I want you to notice what happens during the reading of the scripture. Watch this.
Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Oh, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion? Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Did you notice how raptly Bryce is paying attention to his grandfather? That's Rick Warmly. That is the grandson of Rick and Kelly Warmly. His name is Bryce. And he is so focused on what his grandfather is saying, he is all in. And you know why? Because he knows that his grandfather loves him, and Bryce already trusts him. That's what happens when you meet God in worship. I want you to imagine coming to worship, and there is somebody here to meet you who loves you more than Rick loves Bryce. And that's saying something. Now, here's something else I will also tell you. You might not remember the scripture right now because you were so focused on that baby and the relationship between the two of them. It's Psalm 103. You can go back and look at that again later. But that's how we come to worship, excited and eager to see what is next. Worship is about interacting with God, and God loves you so much and is eagerly waiting to meet you. Next, worship begins in your mind. That's where you meet God. Emotions are helpful and they're really important, but it is with the mind that you connect with God. The challenge we have with our minds is that we forget. The psalmist understood this when in the psalm says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all God's benefits." We are forgetful people. I am a forgetful person. Really makes me a little nuts sometimes. I walk into a room, you've probably done this, I walk into the room and I look around and perhaps my husband is sitting in the room and he looks at me like, yes? And I say, I don't have any idea why I'm here right now. I have forgotten why I came into this room. And it's so frustrating. And I think, okay, I really want to remember. So I back up, I backtrack, I go back upstairs, I go to where I started, and I try to remember. And when I do remember, I am so excited about that. It makes me feel so good. Remembering is really important. When you come to worship, take time to remember why you're here. Take a moment to breathe and just be still. When the music plays at the beginning, we call that the prelude. Don't try to do other things during that time. Just sit and listen to the music and focus on God. And remember why you're coming. Don't allow your mind to go on autopilot. Don't assume that you know what is coming or what the experience will be like. God is full of surprises. Ready your mind to absorb whatever new thing God will bring. Anticipate. You know, when I was young and we used to go visit my uncle at the farm, he and my grandparents lived there, it was a 7 to 8 hour drive. It felt like forever. We would ride in the back of the station wagon back when that was a legal thing to do. Finally, after all this driving, we would pull into the driveway and I would leap out of the car and I would run into the house. And the first thing I noticed when I would run into the house was the smell of freshly baked bread. And when I smelled that smell, I knew that that day my Grammy had baked that bread because I was coming. Because what she knew is, I loved freshly baked bread. Grammy had been anticipating my arrival. She was prepared for me. She knew that I loved it. The smell of that bread alone told me there is something really good here. The whole drive, I anticipated the smell of the bread and the love of my Grammy. And all those hours that I was driving, my Grammy was anticipating my arrival. But imagine if on the ride to the farm, I had been eating Cheetos and chocolate and drinking soda. First of all, I probably would have been sick. I certainly wouldn't have leapt out of the car. I wouldn't have wanted the bread. I would have run into the house and I would be like, no, that doesn't even smell good. I would have missed so much. And my Grammy would have been so disappointed. All that preparation, and I don't want any of it. When you make plans to worship, know that God is anticipating your arrival. God is eager to greet you, just as you are. And God will show up with something wonderful. It is the work of the worshiper to put aside the clutter of our lives and focus on listening for what the Holy Spirit is saying right now, right in this moment. The Holy Spirit, in case you're wondering, what is that? That is the nudge that you feel when you hear something in the information that we have at the beginning, and you hear this nudge, and it tells you, you should do that. It's the tears that come to your eyes when you hear a song, and it just resonates within you. It might even be discomfort when a preacher is preaching and says something and you are convicted. That's the Holy Spirit convicting you. And you say, I need to change that. The Holy Spirit will speak to us, but we have to be ready to listen and to hear. It's a similar feeling to wonder. It's hard to put into words, but it's a very powerful thing. You might not have done this. You might not really understand what I'm talking about. If you don't, that's okay. I want to give us a chance to practice something. You can't really tell the Holy Spirit to show up. You just trust the Holy Spirit is there. But sometimes we have these experiences that bring out those feelings in us. I'm going to show you a clip, another video clip. And it is a dance of a girl named Ainsley O'Brien. And Ainsley attends our Loudoun Restoration Campus with her parents. And Ainsley was asked to put together something that demonstrated worship and her love of God. And she put together this dance. I want you to watch this dance, and I want you to be open for how you feel during it. Here's Ainsley. I'm curious about your experience with that. Listen, if you just want to cheer Ainsley on and say thank you for using your gifts for worship, that's great. That's just super. You should do that. But I bet some of you experience something different when you watch a child express worship and express the love of God. That's a powerful thing. And if you felt something like that, that's the Holy Spirit. That's how it happens. If you're comfortable, share that in the chat. There are people worshiping here today that don't know what that is, and maybe you're feeling something but don't know what it is they feel, and it's a little bit frightening, and it's a little bit weird, to be honest, because it's this very vague thing. But the more you practice it, the more you open yourself up to that, the more normal it becomes. The Holy Spirit will meet you. Notice that. Accept that the Holy Spirit is working within you. I don't know when that will happen. I don't know at what point in the service that might happen, but I'm pretty sure that it will. Finally, worship is a time to stay connected to each other, even virtually. Remember, virtual worship is real worship. And virtual connection is real connection. We gather as a community so we can hold each other up. We gather together because we want to take care of each other more. We are the connected body of Christ, even in this virtual world. We connect to Christ and we connect to love one another. Your worship can help each other. And it's even more important now in this world, this really difficult, crazy world that we are living in. You might not be sure how to connect, so I have a couple of suggestions that you might try. First of all, when you're here in worship and there's a chat stream, which some of you follow and some of you don't, but it's on both the online and on Facebook, pay attention to who's there and ask yourself, who do I see in the chat that could use a word of hope? You might not even need to see anybody in the chat. You might know that there are people that need a word of hope. When you do that, send them a text, write them a note. Make a note of it during worship so that you can do that later. And then the next thing is, what situation is the Holy Spirit calling me to respond to in a deeper way? Maybe it's bringing food by for hungry kids. Maybe it's getting involved in one of our hunger helping ministries. Maybe it's helping our children's ministry do something. Maybe it's recording a song for the Daily Lift and sending it in. The Holy Spirit might be calling you to do something deeper. Pay attention. And then the other thing is, what prayer concern could I personally respond to? We often have a long list. people really appreciate getting cards and notes that say, I'm praying for you, I'm thinking of you. I just wanted to tell you that. Friends, we come together for worship in order to love God and to love each other better. We come to praise and we come to be in the presence of God. The psalmist says this, praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise God's holy name, all my inmost being. The psalmist is telling you something really important. All of you is welcome here, all of you, just as you are. All of your doubts, all of your worries, all of your anxiety, all of your fear, all of your concern, all of that is welcome here. Christ stands ready to meet you. Christ anticipates your arrival. You are seen, you are known, and you are loved by a God we can't possibly imagine. If you're new to the Florist community, I want to tell you, I'm so glad you're here and you are welcome. If you've been coming a long time, it is so good to see you. You are welcome just as you are. Bring it all and lay it at the feet of Christ. When you come to worship, bring all of who you are and know that God is going to do something amazing in your life. I believe that, and I hope you do too. Amen.